Here is a very strong statement. These next 15 minutes, your next 15 minutes, could be the most important minutes in your life. Think about that. That's serious. I'm John Morris, and I'm going to explain to you how you can get right with God, how to get right with God on His terms. And please, listen carefully with an open mind and an open heart. These could actually be the most important minutes, not just in your life, but also in your eternity. You see, each one of us does wrong things to other people, to ourselves, and to our world. And just three wrong things a day adds up to 1,000 a year for each one of us. And working hard to improve our behavior is a good thing. But actually, it only slows down the growth of our life total of sins. We need those sins taken away. We need to be forgiven by God. The wrong things we do, the Bible calls them sin, those sins separate us from God. We need to be forgiven by God to get right with God, to be ready for eternity. Biblical forgiveness is not God saying that He will overlook those sins and just sweep away the eternal penalty for them. No, that penalty must be paid. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus, the sinless God-man, prepaid that penalty for you. He paid it with His blood when He died on the cross. In a sense, He took your place there when He became your sacrificial substitution. But that is not enough. You see, that payment needs to be applied to you, credited to your account. So the important question is, how does that happen? It happens when you repent, when you turn to God from your sins and believe in Jesus. And then, and only then, you are forgiven by God. See, there's three parts to this. We have a problem, separation. Our sin separates us from God. But God has a solution. Jesus was our substitution. And we have a path to forgiveness by believing in Jesus. Let me give you some verses straight out of the Bible. First, about the problem, our sin-caused separation. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And from the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, 2. Your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9 from the New Testament, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These people will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. In Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 5, 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There's our problem, sin-caused separation. And here's God's solution, John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 4, 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfactory sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5, 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 2:24, He, Jesus Himself, bore our sins in His body upon the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And John 1:12, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. We have a problem, separation from God. God has offered a solution. Jesus died on the cross in our place, and we have a path to forgiveness. Acts 10, verse 43. Of Him, Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. That's important. Who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You can believe in, not just believe about, you can believe in Jesus by repenting. That is, by turning in faith away from your sins to Jesus. You need to believe in him. I'll give you a prayer that's a way for you to do that. And it's not an oath. It's not an incantation. If you want to pray it now, I encourage you strongly to do it. But only do it if it expresses the true desire of your heart. You have a problem, separation from God. God's given you a solution. Jesus died for you. You have a path to forgiveness by believing in Jesus. I'll give you this prayer. I'll read it to you quickly. Not quickly, but I'll read it to you. And then I'll read it more slowly so that you can pray with me. Here's the prayer. Dear God, I admit my need. I am a sinner. I repent. I turn to you for my sin. I believe in Jesus that being God, he died on the cross for me. I invite him to be my Savior. Amen. Now, if this is the true desire of your heart, please, I encourage you strongly, pray it with me. Dear God, I admit my need. I am a sinner. I repent. I turn to you from my sin. I believe in Jesus, that being God, he died on the cross for me. I invite him to be my Savior. Amen. You see, Jesus paid the penalty for your sins, and by believing in him, if you just prayed that prayer, his payment has become your payment, and you are forgiven by God, and Jesus said you are now safe for all eternity. And Psalm 32:1 is a beautiful verse. How blessed is he whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered. If you sincerely prayed that prayer, you are forgiven by God and safe with him for all eternity. The death of Jesus has given forgiveness to you. And God has promised that you have eternal life as your present possession. He's promised that you won't come into judgment and promised that you have already passed out of death into life. That's John 5:24. And you are secure because God is holding on to you with his all-powerful hand, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. That's John 10, verses 28 and 29. But if you weren't ready to say that prayer, please make it your highest priority. Your decision is of eternal importance and eternal consequence. There are no second chances beyond the grave. You need to do it now. That's Hebrews 9:27. If you said that prayer, or if you're still considering it, let me give you some definitions and an illustration or so. Biblical forgiveness, what that is the requirement of payment for the penalty of sin. The penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. And biblical forgiveness is a transfer of your sin and its penalty from you to Jesus. God took your sin and its punishment to sinless Jesus. Then God gives righteousness to you. And it is as if there were two books in heaven. The first, your record book of sins. It has a mark in it for every wrong thing you've ever done. If your book would be like mine, it would be so full of marks, it's incredible. Now, the Bible states that things we do, or things we don't do, and even things we think can be sins. Those are sins of commission, omission, and thoughts. And three sins a day, like I said before, is 1,000 a year. Do the math. Over a lifetime, that's a huge number of sins. Now, that other book, is the record book in my illustration, the record book of sinless Jesus. And its pages are clean and spotless. He never sinned. And when you believe in Jesus, it is as if those covers are swapped, so that when God opens your book and looks at your record book, it's completely clean, because all of your sin was transferred to Jesus. Your sin and its penalty are gone. You see, Jesus is the real solution. Jesus himself said, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible's solution to our sin-caused separation from God is unique. Other religions require us to face eternity with our sins in hopes that whatever God might be there will simply overlook our sins. The way of Jesus is unique in that it forgives our sins, washes us clean. Then we face God in eternity with our sins erased because they were transferred to Jesus. The Apostle Peter stated, Acts 4:12 is where it's recorded, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And the Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 2:5-6, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. You see, the way of Jesus is unique because it's a real solution. It works. And believing in Jesus, as I said before, is more than believing about Jesus. Here's a great illustration. Imagine that you're on an airplane flying somewhere over some high mountain peaks, and all of a sudden the engines start to sputter and fail. The plane begins to descend to a fiery crash. The pilot instructs everyone to strap on a parachute and jump through the open door. You've known about parachutes. You've seen them on television or maybe in person. But now it is different. See, stepping out of that plane's open door requires more than believing about a parachute. It requires believing in a parachute. And some hiker's backpack won't work if you strap that on your back. Your survival requires the right parachute. Stepping out without it is sure death. Stepping out with a parachute is a 100% commitment of faith. You may have doubts, but survival requires full trust in the parachute. So figuratively speaking, Jesus is the one true eternal parachute. It's the only one that can carry you to safety. But you need to step out in faith. Even if you have some doubts, you step out in faith, 100% commitment, believing in him. And let me give you one last encouragement. If you didn't pray that prayer, if you did not, or if you prayed it and just want to say it again to be sure, I'll give you that opportunity to do it again. I'll give it to you right now. And personalizing Paul's words from the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is what I want to say to you. As though God were making an appeal through me, I beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So again, I'll say that prayer. And then I'll pray it again more slowly, giving you time to say those words with me. Pray it if it expresses the true desire of your heart. Here's the prayer. Dear God, I admit my need. I am a sinner. I repent. I turn to you from my sin. I believe in Jesus, that being God, he died on the cross for me. I invite him to be my Savior. Amen. And here it is more slowly. I beg you on behalf of Christ, if you truly mean it, say it now. Dear God, I admit my need. I am a sinner. I repent. I turn to you from my sin. I believe in Jesus, that being God, he died on the cross for me. I invite him to be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me just now, today is your spiritual birthday. Write that date down somewhere safe. Today, you were born again. You are forgiven by God and ready for eternity. So what's next? Talk to your Heavenly Father. That's prayer. Just talk to him. And get a Bible and read it every day. Get it online, get it in print, somehow. Get a Bible, read it every day. It's one of your most important investments in life. Reading the Bible is God speaking to you. You're talking to the Father. Prayer is you speaking to him. And back to that verse from Psalm 32. How blessed is he or she whose wrongdoing is forgiven. how blessed you are, forgiven and ready for eternity. And I want to give you a wish. I want to be the first one to do this. This is your spiritual birthday, so happy birthday. How blessed you are. You're now born again, forgiven, and ready for eternity. This audio recording, for your information, is posted on gospel316.org, gospel316.org, and right there it's available in free PDFs and free audio recordings, actually in 48 languages. And may God bless you as you start your new life in Christ.